Before I preach my sermon, I just wanted to let you know that we're up to COVID-safe plan about 27. And the latest change is that if you are having some of Ross's fabulous barista coffee this morning, you need to sit down to drink. So if you have a cup of coffee in your hand, please find a chair and a friend. Dave, don't look at me like that. We're being obedient. This morning we are getting to the section in 1 Corinthians that really is the pointy end. And I want to remind us before I start that I am preaching from the Word of God. And most of us, if we're honest, have got sections of this book that we think we can just black out. We can redact the Bible according to our preferences. We can't. So I want to pray for us that we will be able to hear what God's Word has to say, recognizing that at times we are uncomfortable with certain gifts, recognizing that we've had the experience of people exercising some of these gifts poorly. I want to recognize that, but I want to affirm that these are gifts from a God who is good. As we've heard this morning from Psalm 103, from the songs that Rosie has chosen for us, we have a good God, a God who gives good gifts to his children, including the spiritual gifts that he gives us. So let's pray for our hearts and my mouth to be able to make God's will happen. Lord Jesus, you know that none of us come here with empty hands. None of us picks up our Bible without previous experience. Some of that is fabulous and some of that is not. But Lord God, we want to be obedient to you. We want to receive the good things that you have given, and we want to receive your blessings as the grace that they are. Lord, as we come to the boundaries around the exercise of those gifts, I ask that we will take them on and that we will be wise to the things of your Spirit. For Jesus' sake. Amen. All of us have seen spiritual gifts abused. All of us have been blessed by the exercise of spiritual gifts. But negative experiences tend to overpower positive ones. If people are speaking negatively, it takes 10 positives to outweigh one negative. I'm suspecting it's probably similar in experiences. So I want to share some of my experience so that you know I'm coming from the same place as you. In the days immediately following my diagnosis with cancer, and I'm talking about in the week immediately after my diagnosis, I had two different women who gave me a prophetic word. They were both women from the church I was attending, and women who were respected. The first woman declared, "I have a word from the Lord for you." And her body language was like that, her voice was like that. And immediately I felt nervous because her way of presenting demanded something of me. It did not give me permission to go, "This is perhaps a word from the Lord." And what can you do with a word from the Lord except to obey it? She delivered her message without any humility or any compassion, declaring that I did not need to have treatment for my cancer, but only to trust the Lord. Which, at that point in my life, was a terrifying word, but it was more her mode of delivery that frightened me. I took it away, and I prayed, and I talked to other people who I trusted as being spiritually discerning and wise, and nobody else confirmed this word. Nothing in my own spirit recognised it as being from God. And in the middle of what was already the king daddy of a crisis, i.e. I've got cancer, this word became quite a burden to carry. The first woman talked to me one-on-one, so there was nobody else to witness this. And I should have twigged to that earlier. The second woman said in front of an audience, a small audience, but in front of an audience, she said that she felt that God wanted to encourage me, that I would be okay. There was a real hesitance and a caution in her delivery. And she said, I want you to check this. I'm not saying that I've heard it right, but I think this is from God. Somebody else who was listening said, what do you mean by okay? And she was hesitant, but she said, I sense that God wants you to know that you will survive this cancer. And she, at the same time, she gave me Psalm 91 and said, I believe this psalm is for you. And if you read the end of Psalm 91, it has some wonderful promises. And it truly was my psalm. Every day I read this psalm before I went to bed, every night I should say, and it was a source of great encouragement and comfort. The way she delivered this word gave Howard and I permission to question it, to pray into it, to ask her questions. The people around me cautiously affirmed this word. This is the people who I trusted spiritually. And in a situation like I was in, you really want to trust the people you're asking to speak into your life. So my question is, how did things go so wrong with the first word? When I think about this woman, I would say that she sees herself as being a prophet rather than someone who receives prophetic words. And there is a difference there. She was overly confident when caution was required. You think about it. Somebody's got cancer and you say to them, you don't need to have treatment. Most people would be very cautious and careful about sharing that word because the potential consequences, if you're wrong, are so serious. But I do believe that this first woman receives words from the Lord. I've heard her speak some words and believe that they were from the Lord. But when she delivers them, and I've heard her do it in church a number of times, there is usually this short word that is clearly from the Spirit. And then there's where she begins. And you can almost always tell, and I've spoken to somebody else who I trust and said, I feel like she gets words from God. Like this Sunday she got this word, and this much of it I'm sure was from the Spirit, but this much was not. Her gift was not well managed by her or by the leadership of the church, which I think heightened this problem. And it was detrimental to everyone, including her, because if you've had the experience I had, it makes you a bit nervous of her. And it was potentially detrimental to me. But, here's my big but, people. In spite of this kind of situation, the gift of prophecy is given to us by the Lord for the building up of his church. And we are told to desire it, not tolerate it or cope with it if we can't avoid it. We are told to desire this gift. So we need to hold these two things together. there is a way of using this wrongly, but this is a good gift from a good God that's given to build us up, or to build the church up in particular. Failure to exercise the spiritual gift of prophecy deprives the church of a God-given means of being built up, being deprived of words from God himself. As I've been thinking about and praying about this week, I was thinking about some of the other spiritual gifts and the reality that every single spiritual gift can be misused. And we know it. Some teaching goes off the rails. There are times that churches start teaching something that's actually not right, does not square with the scriptures. Shepherds can go off the rails and do dreadful things to the flock. We just had a royal commission about it, for example. Leaders may lead people astray. Mercy, the spiritual gift of mercy, can become quite controlling. Evangelists can make people immune to the gospel. And administrators sometimes make an awful mess of the church. Yet we never, ever, ever contemplate shutting down those spiritual gifts. I can't think of a church that decided, I think we'll can the sermon because a couple of years ago someone taught a dodgy sermon. We don't do it. And neither should we shut down prophecy. However, I think we're more likely to fail to apply the scriptures to the exercise of this gift, which means that failures happen and fear grows. So for this reason, we are going to go through chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians pretty much verse by verse. I don't normally preach every series like that, but I feel that it's necessary at this moment in time. So let's read from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verses 1 to 5. Follow the way of love. And eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. The key to understanding this chapter, in fact, understanding most of Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, is the importance of edification, which is a word we don't use so much. Edification, when it's broken down to its elements, means to build up. And it's used a number of times in Paul's writing, and particularly in his writing to the Corinthians. In this portion, in these five verses, the word edify is repeated three times. When Paul repeats himself, he's saying, listen up, people. Paul's major concern is the building up of the church. The Corinthians were so busy showing off that they forgot that the spiritual gifts they had were given to build the church up, which is the reason for every single spiritual gift. It's to build up the church. In his corrective letters to the Corinthians, Paul discusses prophecy in tongues through the lens of edification. He's giving instructions for the times when the community is together. So he does make a distinction between what he says about what we do in private or when we are alone and what we do in a public gathering. He contrasts tongues, which the Corinthians were using wrongly, with the blessings provided by prophecy done correctly. So, on to verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. I think it's really important that we notice, as good Baptists, that this is the one spiritual gift that we're told to desire, to seek after, to ask for. Not one we should be frightened of, run away from, or block our ears to, but one that we should desire. This verse is unambiguous. We might not like it, but it's unambiguous. Desire prophecy. Ask for it. Listen for it. Don't shut prophecy down or neglect it. And if we go over to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, Paul warns the Thessalonians not to quench prophecy and not to despise it. But rather we are to desire it, to allow it, and to use it, as with all the spiritual gifts, well. So, verse 2. When we look at this verse, what it is telling us is that tongues, the spiritual gift of tongues, speak to God. Tongues don't speak to the people around. They are a way of the Spirit praying our prayers for us when we don't know how to pray. In a public setting, it's not great to have periods of time when no one understands what is going on, which is why tongues should only be used in a public setting if there is someone who is able to interpret it. There is more further on in the passage about that, in the chapter. But the primary thing to take away from this is that without understanding in the audience, the only person being edified is the one who is speaking. The audience are not being edified. When we come together, it's for the building up of everybody, not just the one person who might be speaking in tongues. It's for everyone to be built up. So notice, when somebody prophesies, it's speaking to everybody who is in that gathering. And it's doing it for their strengthening, for their encouragement, and for their comfort. When I think about the second prophecy that I was given when I was diagnosed, it strengthened me. It was a tremendous encouragement and comfort. And 7 years later, it still is. Prophecy has a bad name as being something to be fearful of, but most often when prophecy is given, it is given for our building up, our strengthening, our encouragement. Everybody who's there can understand and will be edified. A word of prophecy, a fresh word from God, speaks to people and often connects with something else that we know from the scriptures. In my instance, it was Psalm 91 and this word that was given to me. It joined those promises together. All these things build up people and build up the church. So I want you to think for a minute about when you have received a word. And I suspect people didn't say, I think I've got a word of prophecy for you. In our context, they're more likely to say, I feel like God spoke to me and I just want to share what he said. We're likely to hedge our bets and be very careful about how we present it. But have a think for a minute about the last time someone gave you a word. My sense is it probably strengthened you when you were feeling weak, or encouraged you when you were feeling mighty discouraged, or brought comfort at a really tough moment in time. Verse 4. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. The whole church is edified when people exercise their gift of prophecy well. Because there is the sense in our heads, we know that God's Spirit is with us. But we are people who live by sight, and we love to see the evidence that God is with us. He is, and prophecy gives us the evidence. So looking at this verse, again, we have this emphasis. When somebody uses the gift of tongues, they edify themselves if it's not translated. But the person who prophesies edifies the whole church. And finally, in case we're thinking that we can throw tongues out, Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. Down in verse 18, he talks about how he speaks in tongues more than any of them. So he's not throwing tongues out. He's saying they need to be used the right way, as prophecy needs to be used the right way. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. So the test of everything is whether this edifies people, whether it builds the church up. The building up of the church is one of Paul's great themes. He talks of the authority he has for building up the church in a couple of places in his letters to the Corinthians. He talks about how he was given this authority to build them up. I have those verses written in the front of my Bible. Because anyone with authority is given it only for the building up of the church, not for the building up of themselves. Paul constantly talks about authority for building up, spiritual gifts for building up, and love for building up. This is one of his great themes. Clearly, Paul believes that prophecy is for building up the church, and he says so in verses 24 and 25, and says that prophecy may also lead unbelievers to conviction of sin and judgment. So if somebody comes into the building who isn't necessarily a follower of Jesus and they hear prophecy, that may well be the thing that convicts them of sin and the need to repent. So whether people in the building, in this public gathering, are believers or not yet believers, they will be edified. So we've talked about all of these spiritual gifts and where we see them used at Norton Summit. Where do you see people exercising the gift of prophecy in this congregation? I reckon some of our worship leaders do it. At times there is a word given in the middle of lots of other things that the worship leader is doing, but there'll be a word that they share. And they don't share it from on high. They share it as a part of what they're doing. But they'll often say, this week I feel like God showed me. I feel like God said to me. Where else do we see it? Do we see it? Can you say that more loudly so everyone can hear?
Sometimes at the end of the service, someone will get up and say something or during the service.
Yep. Yep. There will be times where people feel compelled to share a word. and they come forward to do so. Yep. Yep, I think it happens a lot in that setting. Sometimes in church meetings, I've heard people, again, a very short word, but say, I think God's saying we can do this. And that's as much as they say. Not thus saith the Lord, but I think. So there's a humility and a gentleness about the delivery that makes it more trustworthy in my eyes. In elders' meetings, this is not an uncommon experience. Often in an elders' meeting, we spend time sitting in scripture and praying, and it's not unusual for someone to say, I feel that God is saying. And that is the kind of place you would kind of expect that you would be needing to hear from God, and you would hear from him. Sometimes the person who shares the word is just as surprised as their audience when they have a word of prophecy. And afterwards they might say, well, I didn't know that was coming, but God gives them a word and they speak it, and only after it's out of their mouth do they recognise that it didn't come from them, it came from the Spirit. So, given that we've talked a lot about the gift of prophecy and the reality that God gives it to us because he is a good God and wants to bless and edify and grow us up and build us up, how do we open ourselves up? How do we put legs on desiring the gift of prophecy? I want to say that prayer and prophecy are intrinsically linked. You are not going to hear words from God if you don't spend time listening to God. Praying with other people is one of those places where we are most likely to hear a word from God. Sitting down in a prayer group, speaking, listening, praying, receiving what seems to be something from God and praying some more into that. To open ourselves up to the gift of prophecy means accepting that we only prophesy in part. No matter how long we might have been learning how to exercise that gift. 1 Corinthians 13 will tell us that all prophecy is only in part. I want to emphasise that if you think you have a word from the Lord, please deliver it and hold it with great humility. It's a mysterious thing, this hearing from God. And when we are claiming to speak God's words, we need to be very, very, very humble and open to correction and give others permission to question us and to ask their questions. These are the safeguards around this spiritual gift. We need to learn the discipline of speaking and waiting, because often when a word is given, there is a sense of this is for now or this is to pray about. Sometimes in counselling other people, I get a sense of a word coming from God, but it's not for me to speak, it's for me to know and to pray into. And I've heard others say the same thing. We need, unless we want the danger of trying to control other people, we should always allow our hearers the right to weigh the word. If we don't do that, we are walking down this road of control, which is never, ever godly. And we should be open to correction, to somebody saying, I think you were right when you began, but I think you went off trail, Kerry. We need to be open to that, to give people permission to help us grow in our use of this gift. There are some people who believe themselves to be prophets who only ever deliver a worst of Jeremiah kind of message. You know the kind of people I mean? They open their mouth, you think, oh dear, because we know we're not going to be encouraged, comforted or built up. Some people take great delight in delivering those messages, which makes me question whether it is in fact from the heart of God. Sometimes there are strong words from the Spirit that need to be spoken. But if someone is humble in God's hands, it will grieve them to share that word. I remember a long time ago in Darwin, someone standing up, and she was one of the most gentle, kind, lovely women. And she was shaking, and she said, I feel like I've got a word from God, and I'm frightened to share it. And she pointed us to the letter to the church in Laodicea that's in Revelation. And it was a letter telling the church in Laodicea that they had become lukewarm. And she was weeping by this time, and she said, I feel like this is what God is saying to us. It grieved her. She wasn't there going, beauty, I'll tell them what they need to do and tell them to lift their game. And I've seen that. She was heartbroken, but she was faithful to this message that called us to repent. Sometimes a prophecy will say, you need to repent. This is wrong. So it won't always comfort, but very often it will. One of the other things that I want to encourage us all to do is to ask God for words of prophecy when they seem to be needed. When we are really stumped about a decision, to ask God to speak and to then zip it and let him do so. We need to wait before God and say, what are you saying? And sometimes even then he gives us a partial answer. And our right response to that is to pray into it and to wait some more and to obey what he shows us to obey in the multitude of counsel. This is a gift given to the church corporately, and the church needs to weigh such words. Beware of prophets huddling in groups of one or two. These gifts are given to the church for the church to weigh faithfully. So that's a lot of boundaries I've suggested there. Is there anything I haven't suggested that you think I need to? There's some wisdom in this room. Neil.
No, certainly not that, but just a question that's come to my mind, and you know, a prophecy for exhortation, perhaps like an encouragement. I've often wondered, I just wonder your opinion, that prophecy, put it by Agabus in Acts 26 before, you're going to go to Jerusalem and you're going to be, because he took his belt off, didn't he? He's saying you're going to be basically arrested, you're going to be all kinds of strife just around the corner. I'm just wondering whether he should, because we're working God, whether he should actually accept what he said.
I think there's all the rest of us and there's Paul. I think there's all the rest of us and then there's Paul. I think Paul had demonstrated a capacity to hear really serious warnings, and he was given many of them. You know, the Spirit of God tells me in every city I go to, trouble awaits me. And it did. Oh, jail here, jail there, jail somewhere else. So I think Agabus should have shared that word, and I think Paul heard it. No, it wouldn't have encouraged me. But what I'm saying is it's the proportion. Mostly prophecy encourages people, but there are times that a prophecy will call for repentance. But it's the proportion, which is why I'm saying beware of the prophets of doom who only ever have a message of doom. Anything else? Yep.
In your life, I was to go to the home over the last 10 years of life. One of the things I remember her saying was that she would get a bill of message saying that it's a master.
Oh, wow.
And she said, how can I say that? And she started to stand in front of her. And the person would say, you're getting unwasted master part of time.
Wow.
So that was part of that competition. What people know already.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess that come back to mind and was a strike from Hong Kong. But they came into when the Christian church is big there, and she they're facing great persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And I just that come back to my mind.
Yeah.
That often a prophecy was very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if there is nothing in you that recognises it, you have to question it. Yeah. Mm. Thank you, Bronwyn. Anything else? Max? I think prophecy is probably a catch-all phrase for words of knowledge, words of wisdom. And I think the way it's delivered depends on the person it's delivered through. So I know people in, say, the AOG who are far more practiced and conscious in their use of prophecy than what we are in Baptist churches. In Baptist churches, it's usually couched differently. But it's this knowledge that has come from the Spirit rather than from the person delivering it. So it's a message from God. And unfortunately, we don't get great definitions of any of these spiritual gifts. So I think there's probably a lot of space there for variety within that. Sorry? Yeah. Thank you. If the scriptures gave us a great definition, I would have given it to you, but they don't. Okay. Let me pray for us to take this word. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you, the living God, choose to still speak to us through your Spirit. That you speak into our today realities. You know the experience that all of us have had. You know the uncertainty that we feel. But you know your own heart. You know that your desire is to bless us and to build up your church. And spiritual gifts are given to build us all up. So we ask that we will be bold and wise and receptive to what your Spirit wants to do in our midst. For Jesus' sake, Amen.